Case number 10,937.
They'll send their pictures back to us and whatnot?
You can ask for them back after the finding of facts. It takes 30 to 60 days.
Okay. Thank you.
Case number 10,937, Fontana Residence Trust, east of Route 1 Coastal Highway, northeast of Seaside Drive, being lot 11 within Bethany Village Development. A variance from the maximum height requirement and/or appealing the staff's decision to reject the certificate of compliance.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to excuse myself from this case. I was an inspector familiar with the property at that time. I was the inspector in that area, and I believe that,
You'll refrain from hearing the case then?
Refrain from it,
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I have two witnesses to be sworn in, but while they're doing that, I'm going to say that I agree with Mr. Ricker that that was one tough mobile home that lasted.
That's for sure.
31 years, and I only had $10,000 worth of...
Yes, what's your mailing address?
That's all I need after 30 more years.
In Bethany?
No, that's in Maryland.
Can you state your name and address for the record?
Ken Lloyd, 302-693 Cedar View, Cedar Neck Road, Ocean View, Delaware.
Can you raise your right hand? Swear the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
All right, thank you very much.
Okay. Fair enough.
Mr. Mr. Chairman, my name is Dennis Schrader, and I represent the interests of the Fontana Residence Trust, which is the owner of certain property located on lot 11 in Bethany Village near Bethany Beach, Delaware. I have with me this evening Mr. Gabriel Fontana, a gentleman sitting here with the distinguished white hair, who is the patriarch of the Fontana family. And I also have with me Mr. Lloyd, who is the builder that worked on this particular project during its last iteration. I have submitted to the board, because of the unusual circumstances of this case, an exhibit book. And if you'll bear with me for just a moment, I think it's appropriate that I go through the exhibit book so that you can become familiar with its contents. At the conclusion of my presentation, I'm going to do something unusual. I'm going to ask you not only to grant the application, but also to defer it, because I think there's a lot of material here that probably cannot be digested in the short amount of time that the board would like for me to speak this evening. The application that we have submitted to the board is, in fact, in two parts. One of them is for a variance of 1.22 feet, which is just a hair short of 15 inches. The other thing that we've asked for is that we have been denied a certificate of occupancy by the staff, and I have posed to the Board of Adjustment that this may also be treated as an appeal of that denial, and that we be granted an appeal based upon the doctrine of estoppel, which I'm sure will get Mr. Sharp involved in this, and leads to the request that the matter be deferred. This property is located on lot 11 at Bethany Village. It's an MR1 zoning area. The application, as I pointed out to you, is for 1.22 feet, not to be overly dramatic, but mainly because it was sitting on my desk today, and I just couldn't resist it. 1.22 feet actually is 14.6 inches. This is 15 inches, which is 0.4 inches higher than the variance that's being requested. If you take a look at the materials that are contained in this application, and in particular, the certification as to the height that is contained in tab C, you will see that this property is 55.22 feet. As has pointed out in an earlier application this evening, we go to the floodplain, which takes 12 feet. You go 42 feet on top of that, which is the allowable height limitation, and what you have is the 1.22-foot application.
Mr. Schrader, are you sure it was tab C?
It's tab C in my book, sir.
We don't have anything.
Okay. Okay, great. Okay, I'm sorry. Thank you. Good, proceed.
We have before us this evening not only this particular issue, and there was a notice of violation issued by Mr. Malloy citing the property for the violation, but there was also a building permit given. I'm going to tender a copy of the plans that were approved. I would have tendered them earlier, but I don't have any way to duplicate these because of their size. But these are the proposed construction plans. Noted on these plans are the approval comments of the reviewing agencies, and at page two of these things, there's a reference to the widow's watch or the cupola, as the case may be, depending on what you prefer to call it, and the two surveys that show that this previously was 55.42 feet and that the proposed new construction is 55.42 feet. And I will hand these over to Mr. Sharp. All right, I'll hand them over to the gentleman. To Ms. Isaacs. And I know you're looking at them by a lot of noise. Much in the same fashion as I've made noise about these critters. This case also has a litigation history, and there are representatives of the Bethany Village Owners Association that will appear this evening and oppose this application. By now, you have had the opportunity to review, or at least you've been made aware of, the fact that there are a number of letters that have been sent by the adjacent property owners in Bethany Village complaining about whether or not this property should or should not have that extra 15 inches of structure to it. In 1997, litigation was decided by then Vice Chancellor Steele, who is now the Chief Justice of the state, in which the Bethany Village Owners Association attempted to enforce the restrictive covenants on this property, and the Court of Chancery stated at that time that they would not be applied because they were void for vagueness. As a result of that, there were a number of efforts to amend the covenants, and if you take a look at tab 3, you will find the original covenants, which the court refused to enforce. There is a first amendment to these covenants, which goes into a little more detail about what is or is not supposed to take place on this site, and then there is a second amendment that was also filed. The reason I bring this to your attention is that the 1998 amendment, which is the second document in tab 3, states that the height limitation is to be thus and such, and for lots 11, which is ours, along with others, the height of the building shall be measured from the radius point of the street turnaround abutting such lots to the highest point of the building. And the point of this is to tell you first that the covenant is still unenforceable because it doesn't bear any resemblance or relationship to the current zoning law of the state. It bears no relationship to the floodplain laws of this state and this county. And because, as is set out in the original case, the idea that the turning radius of the point of the street turnaround abutting such lot may or may not be what the elevation should be for the calculation of this height. And it repeats in itself that which caused the problem with the first litigation. So we're going to ask you to ignore any references to this particular covenant, and we're going to remind you that there is litigation that says that whatever it is that's in that covenant is not enforceable as it relates to this particular property. There was a building permit applied for based upon the plans that I've just given you, and as Mr. Malloy will tell you, there was a letter written by him in March of 2011 after he had a copy of the height certification. In that letter addressed to Mr. Fontana is a part of the record, and it states that, as you can see from it, that there is the problem with this house being 43.22 feet above the 12-foot floodplain, and therefore a 1.22-foot variance is required. I would like to call at this time Mr. Lloyd to the stand, having he's already previously sworn, ask him a few questions concerning this particular application. Your name, please.
Ken Lloyd.
And your address.
30693 Cedar Neck Road, Ocean View, Delaware.
And are you familiar with the Fontana residence?
Yes, sir.
And how is it that you're familiar with the Fontana residence?
I went in and built the Widow's Maker up on top of the house.
Okay. You call it a Widow's Maker, I call it a Widow's Walk or a cupola, but we're all talking about the structure cupola. On the top of the building, right?
It was a Widow's Maker, now it's a cupola, yes.
All right, whatever.
There you go.
All right, do you have any idea what the purpose of having this there was for?
There was, in the original thing, there was a small box in the middle, and then there was the outside thing there, and it was just like a membrane deck. And there was holes there, and there's no place for the water to go besides these holes inside the membrane deck. The birds were getting up there. They kept clogging up the holes, and so he wanted to close it in so that he could, you know, end that problem. I believe that was really the real issue behind the whole thing.
There was already a Widow's Walk on the property, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And how is this one different from the one that was already there?
This one's merely closed in.
Okay. And what were you asked to build, this particular structure?
Yes.
Did you do any other work on the house?
I did replace some siding. Okay.
But nothing, you didn't build the house itself?
No. No, sir.
If you were to compare one structure with the other structure, and that is the Widow's Walk, Widow's Maker, cupola, what's the big difference between the two?
It's side walls. It's wider. That's it. In the very beginning, the main thing that I was told and understood was it cannot be any higher than the existing thing that was there, the existing thing. So when we built it up, we built the walls up. We took the one roof right down, and we put the other roof right to the exact height. That's the one thing that I know for sure, you know, that we didn't make it any higher than what was existing.
When you built this, was there a building permit required?
The building permits were already taken care of.
And there was a building permit acquired for this particular structure?
Yes, sir.
And gentlemen, that is contained in part of the application. When you went to work on this site, did you remove any of the previously existing structure?
Yes, I did. I removed the roof to put the other roof to it. I had to.
And after you got done, you put the roof back to?
The existing height of the roof. That was the main thing I was told right up front. Don't go no higher. And I've been building in Bethany for 15 years. I know about I've run into this before, you know. So we made sure we didn't, you know, and it was really.
We know that it's 14 inches and 6/10 of, or 14.6 inches is the variance that we're looking for in terms of the height. How big is the ridge of this roof? How much length are we talking about?
I think it's about 3 feet.
And so we're talking about 15 inches high,
mm-hmm.
approximately 3 feet wide.
It's probably, you know, somewhere in this area right here.
In all four directions?
No, just one. One direction and sloping down, always.
And the height of this structure is 55 feet?
Yes, I guess.
You've indicated that you do a lot of work in the Bethany Beach area, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
And you work in the beach communities?
Yes, sir.
This house is located on the Lammer side of the dune in Bethany Village, correct?
Mm-hmm.
You've worked on houses such as these before in this type of neighborhood?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Do you have an opinion as to whether or not this particular height violation, if you will, is going to have a negative effect on anybody in the neighborhood?
I really can't say it.
Do you have an opinion as to whether or not this particular height issue, if it were reduced by 14.6 inches, would there be any benefit to anybody in the neighborhood?
I can't see it. No, I can't see it. You know.
Would you agree with me that this would be the minimum amount a variance required in order to allow for that to stay?
Yes.
Thank you. I'm going to ask Mr. Fontana to stand up for a minute. Mr. Fontana is 90 years old, has two earphones or hearing aids, and so I'm going to ask him one question. Mr. Fontana, you've heard everything that either Mr. Lloyd and I have had to say. Do you agree that you would have said the same thing if you could have had the opportunity to say it yourself?
Yes.
Thank you. That's all I need. Gentlemen, I don't think I need to educate you on the standards for variance. I don't think I need to give you too much to talk about on the standards for equitable. a stop, or it's going to be something Mr. Sharp's going to have to take a look at. There are four criteria that go into that, and that is a situation where if a person has applied for a permit, relied upon that permit in good faith, there has been some act or omission on the part of the county government that has made the owner of property change in his position or incurred an extensive obligation or incurred expenses, and it becomes highly inequitable or unjust to destroy the rights of the applicant gained in that permit. What got us here is we applied for the permit, built it in accordance with the plans, submitted for the permit, and we'd like to either get a certificate of occupancy saying it gets to stay, or we get a variance saying that it gets to stay. There are a couple things I would like to point out because I have heard them earlier this evening, and I just want to make sure that they're brought to everybody's attention. Many people believe that there is a line of sight easement or a line of sight rule in this county or in this state. And I think Mr. Sharp will tell you at some point in time there was a case called Brett versus the city of Rehoboth Beach, what it had to do with the Atlantic Sands Hotel and the Grant building of the lifeguard station on Baltimore Avenue or Wilmington Avenue in Rehoboth. And Mr. Brett had the good fortune to have that built. He claimed that it interfered with his right to view the ocean from his hotel, would negatively affect his right to earn an income from that hotel, and he took it to court and promptly lost. The court saying we don't have that line of sight right in this state. So that's one thing for you to take into consideration. The second thing is that the height restriction, I believe, that's going to be argued under these covenants don't apply to this particular situation by reason of a prior court ruling. As Mr. Lloyd has stated to you, even if it were reduced by the 14.6 inches we're discussing tonight, it still wouldn't have a major effect, if any effect at all, on the adjacent property owners. And lastly, I would encourage you to consider not getting into what has become a neighborhood dispute that arose in 1994 and is still going on. Well, the court case was decided in 1997, so it's been 15 years since the case was decided, and it was going on before that. So it's time to let it go, everybody. Thank you. That's all the presentation we have, and we're available to answer questions should it be necessary.
All right. Thank you. Is there any questions from members of the board for the applicant? Mr. Rickard?
Not hearing it.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're not hearing it. Mr. Workman?
No.
Mr. Hudson?
No.
Okay. Mr. Sharp? Okay, is there anyone here in favor of this application? Okay, is there anyone here in opposition? There's one hand up, and I believe the gentleman would like to speak. Please come forward.
Hi, please state your name and address for the record.
Do you want my home residence?
Yes.
My name is Mike Johnson. I live in York, Pennsylvania at 147 Marion Road. I am also an owner of a property in Bethany Village, and the correct address is 39729 Seaside Drive.
Will you raise your right hand?
Certainly.
All the testimony you're about to give, the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I have a few comments for you. First of all, as I mentioned, my name is Mike Johnson. I am here at the request of the Board of Directors of the Bethany Village Owners Association. This is an association of 35 owners of properties in that development. I am also serving and have served for longer than I want to think as head of the Bethany Village Architectural Control Committee. This is the group of three individuals that receives and approves or denies all plans for any exterior construction in the area. We purchased our property in 1989, and I think maybe in the early 90s I began working on the Architectural Control Committee. So I was on that committee during the period that was mentioned of the earlier litigation regarding a very similar issue on this property back in 1994. And as was stated, and I certainly agree with that, the criteria, the actual language of our covenants that, of course, are recorded on the deed, at that time was not sufficiently clear. The court found, and we agree at this point, the association, that it was not sufficiently clear. And because of that, not because of the merits of the case, but because the covenants were not clear, the litigation at that time, where we were attempting to stop the construction at that height, our litigation was not successful. Since then, we have made changes to our covenants to be much more specific so that there's not room for variation from lot to lot. And that's why, as was mentioned, our criteria is that we keep the same 42 feet as the county, and we measure from a common point, which is basically the level of the road, okay, that you enter into the property. So if your driveway is right here, whatever right in the middle of your entry, that's where we take the 42 feet. And I'm not sure if that is totally consistent with the county ordinance from what I just heard. And that's something I need to look into to be sure that that is changed if it's not. But in any case, what we really have here, I think, is a situation where, and I couldn't agree more, it's time to let go. And the time to let go, I think, really is that there is a zoning ordinance, there are requirements in the zoning ordinance, and we're here really to support you in your effort to enforce that ordinance, okay? And what we have been shown here, or has been discussed here, excuse me, is a change which we, the Owners Association, maintain is not just a 15-inch ruler height, which we can all snicker at and say, my God, 15 inches, let it go. This is a situation where we have a cupola, if you will, which is a certain dimension. I don't have that with me, but I think it was said 3 feet or so. What is being proposed, and in the materials that we submitted to you, I hope they all have the same materials. There is a letter which is dated February 2nd, 2012, from the association, and included in that letter are pictures during the construction, okay, before the construction, during the construction, so it'll be very clear to you, I think, to see visually before the construction where we had the relatively small, a little too high, but relatively small cupola, okay, with an open area around it. And you'll see then during the construction, granted the height very well may not be any higher, I certainly accept that, but what we see is that I would contend that it is a much larger structure, and it's certainly not all that is required to stop a leaking situation, although that's not really our concern here, I guess, is it? This is a different structure. We maintain that it's basically almost a separate room at this point from the pictures. And if you have also diagrams, I assume you do, of the interior, you'll see the size of this. So we would maintain that it is not just a de minimis extension, and why not? My gosh, you know, this is nothing. Of course you should allow it. It is a substantial change to the top of the structure. I won't obviously go through them all, but part of your packet, you have letters from, I think it's 13 property owners. They may look a little bit the same, but actually as you read them, we gave sort of a basic format, and they have been customized. Each owner had different things to say to you tonight. So in those, you don't really have a map there, but I will just tell you, the folks who have written these letters are largely the people who would be most directly affected. Okay, so as was mentioned, this property, the Fontana property, is an oceanfront property. And the folks that you've gotten letters from there are basically individuals whose properties are one back from the ocean, two back from the ocean. Okay, I think it was six of the eight in those two rows have submitted letters opposing this, because in their viewpoint, it's not de minimis, and it will have a definite impact on their view. And why else do you have a house on the ocean other than the view? Well, maybe there are some other reasons, but it's certainly one of the major reasons. So we feel strongly that it would have a detrimental impact, and it is not a minimal change in any case at all. And it's interesting, if I can read you one just very brief little quote. I'm sorry you don't have this in front of you. I just pulled this out this evening from the litigation, because I think it sort of describes the situation that existed what, 94, so what's that, what, 18 years ago, and the situation that, that exists today. And I'll quote from page two of the decision. It says, the Architectural Control Committee notified the defendants, the Fontanas, that the rooftop structure, at that time the cupola, violated the declaration because the design had not been approved, as has this one not been approved by the Owners Association as required by the covenants, and because the structure violated the height restriction, as is the case today. I think this is an interesting sentence as well. It says, the judge says, defendants admit that they neither sought nor obtained prior approval for the structure. Okay? And they agree that they bear the risk of having to remove the structure should this court require it. Now, different set of facts. I'm not saying it's exactly the same, but this is the same structure, the former pagoda, now a structure around it, to now enclose that in what I think is a much larger structure. So this is not new history. It is, sadly to say, something that's been around for quite a while. The Owners Association, I'm not a member of any others, but I will say on this one, as again, having been on this committee, we don't turn down plans, okay? We work with the owners to find solutions that help them to build what they want and to be able to have the kind of home that they want. We back and forth, there's a lot of that that goes on. And I'll say that out of the 35 homes, there is not a single home that we have gotten in a similar situation with in terms of a, I'm sorry to say, sort of a stubbornness of, you know, it's going to be this way and or else. I don't mean to be personal here, but I just wanted to let you know that this is not a common set of facts in our development. This really is the first time, or the first property, I should say, that has come in this way. So I won't bore you anymore. There are copies of the letters included here where the Architectural Control Committee first in 2007, when it was first requested to enclose it this way, clearly we rejected that and we told exactly why we rejected it. We require a statement for every property owner when they build that says that they are in compliance with the height requirement. It's a quote that we actually say, here's the quote, when you submit your plans, put this quote in and sign it by the architect, and that happens every time. In this case, back in 2007, that didn't happen. And we did not receive that commitment. The 3 years went by. We get a letter from a lawyer, not the same lawyer, but another lawyer, saying, we're getting ready to build. Get ready, basically, and it's included in here as well for you. We sent back a reminder letter saying, folks, if you proceed, just know that you are doing this explicitly
violation.
Thank you. you read the letter. Strictly in violation of the covenants and our last instructions to you. So it couldn't be more clear. It wasn't a case like, oh my God, I built it. I thought they would have taken it. This was a very clear. We tried to be very clear in our communication with them. I was actually different city, but I was head of the zoning hearing board for 10 years, and I used to have a lot of cases come before me, and we had the same type of criteria up in Pennsylvania, and, you know, I know the criteria are strict, and they should be strict. That's what a variance is. It's not a special exception. It's a very strict thing. Five requirements, that's what ought to be held to, and I think that this is something that is not consistent with those requirements. It's not just putting some other type of wall around the existing pagoda to like seal it better to get rid of the leaking problem. It's a new structure, I contend, that is being built. So I and the other 33 property owners in Bethany Village would like to ask you to enforce your zoning ordinance, to apply the criteria, and to turn down this application. There are a lot of materials I included, and you may or may not, you probably haven't had a chance to read them all, but basically what I told you is what's included. There are pictures, there's a timeline, what happened when, and there are the two letters that we sent, and then there are the, I believe, 12 letters of opposition from other property owners. So that's all I have to say. If there are any questions, I'd be glad to respond to them.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Are there any questions for the opposition, Mr. Fortman?
No, I do have some for Mr. Schrader.
Okay, and Mr. Hudson?
At this time.
Okay. Mr. Schrader, I believe Mr. Workman has a question for you.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Mills, I would like to add before I forget, the office did receive 16 letters in opposition, which you have been provided.
Okay, thank you.
Is this the picture of before it was closed in? And then all you did was close this in?
I can't answer that. If you don't mind, I'll show it to Mr.
Yeah, and there's another picture, too. I got to ask a question.
I'm going to have Mr. Lloyd answer the question for Mr. Workman. It looks to me like it's during the construction.
Okay, turn to the next page. It was completely closed in. That's how it was?
Turn your mic. They're going to stand there. Turn that way.
Both were done, pictures taken during the construction.
Okay, turn the other page the other opposite way then. No, the other way, to the front. There's one completely closed in on it.
Yes.
That's the way it looked before?
No, that's the way
that's now. You finished it?
Yes, sir.
Is that a room up there now?
It's enclosed, yes.
Well, yeah. So can it be a room?
I wouldn't say there could be a room because...
What's the inside dimension?
Well, the inside dimensions are, as you come up the steps, of course, the steps is there. It's like 42 inches wide, and that stretches probably 8 feet in the center, and then there's 3 foot all the way around it. So there's the steps come up, those hand railings going around that, and there's a 3 foot path the whole way around that.
So I mean, it's not like you can put a bed there. I mean, yeah, it's a room. It's a room, but...
But there's a stairwell.
50.
There's a stairwell directly in the center.
50 square feet plus or minus.
Yes.
So the existing enclosure that you had is in this picture. Did you remove that?
That was removed. Yes, that's removed.
It's removed. So it's completely open except for the stairwell.
Yes.
Can I ask?
Now, pages for you, Mr. Workman.
You were asking, I understand where your 3 foot come from. I just thought of 3 foot, up on top you added, but you added 3 foot around the whole thing that already was there.
If you could
go to the podium that way, the microphone to get the record.
The thing that was there originally, the small box that was there originally, the 3 foot was already around that. The walls, that was like a rubber membrane deck that came around there. And then the walls came up this high. So that 3 foot area was already around that existing center thing. I put like 3 foot walls on top them walls and put the roof over to the
center. So it was a pagoda structure inside of the walls that were there. You had 3 foot walls?
Yeah, the
walls were already... And then you had a pagoda structure in the center that did not go to the outside walls.
No, sir.
Okay.
And they weren't removed or changed, is that correct?
The outside walls were not removed or changed, no.
Okay. You just extended the outside walls up and then connected the roof?
Yeah, the regular roof.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
This is what they asked for.
Yes.
Homeowner, did you ask why couldn't they repair what they had instead of adding to that? Why don't you just fix the problem instead of adding to that?
If
we weren't in the process of asking them anything at the time they got the permit, I think the answer to the question is that there was a problem with birds, and they wanted to enclose it in order to keep the birds out of that area.
Them walls that came up around, then obviously the inside was, it was that rubber membrane deck. So there's little holes in the corners for the water to drain in.
Okay.
So I guess all the birds that got up there and whatever else got in there was clogging up them holes. To fix it, I don't know what you could have done to fix it because they were 3 foot high walls on the outside. So anything that got in there was trapped inside there. You know what I mean? There was nowhere for it to spill over the edges anywhere.
Yeah, I understand now. I'm better now. You got a 3 foot wall and you just went over top of that 3 foot wall and went up with it.
Yes, sir.
And then tied the roof to that.
Yes, sir.
I don't know if you can characterize it like being a pool, but with a rubber membrane and flood.
It was, yeah, it was.
So that that drainage, the way you're describing it, inside those 3 foot walls, did not shed across the roof.
No, sir. It went down through the house and out the side.
Okay, but what you replaced it with sheds over the outside roof now.
Now it has no choice because the roof goes right out to them 3-foot walls.
And an integral roof.
And drains down the
yes,
sides.
Yes, it goes down the sides, so.
Did we answer your question?
Answer my question. Okay. Thank you.
It is kind of confusing.
Yeah.
Okay. Are there any other questions from members of the board? If not?
I believe I have a question, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Mr. Chair.
For Mr. Lloyd, is it?
Yes, sir.
There was an existing roof on the cupola, correct?
Yes, the one that was there, there was an existing roof on it, yes.
The height of this new roof that's been put on, it's supposedly the same height as that old roof,
that
correct?
That was the main thing I was told right from the beginning, to not exceed the height of the existing roof that was there.
Does it extend out further in the above the I guess 42 feet plus 12 feet for the flood zone? Does it extend further out than it did before?
The one that was existing was only like 3 foot by 7 foot, or you know, and then now the new one goes out to the walls that came up, so that roof comes out and extends. It's not higher, but it extends out further.
Is the grade on that roof steeper or less steep than the previous roof?
It is less steep because it had to go out further. Like the one was like this, the other one had to come out to the walls up further, so it's probably the grade is less. I think it's a...
Less pitch.
Less pitch, 612, I think.
That's it. That's all I got. Thank
you. I got
you.
One more question again. So this part inside, that roof, is this as high as that one, you're saying?
Yes. The one that was originally there.
On this, okay.
Mm-hmm. The peaks are the same.
The peaks are the same.
The peak is the exact same height as the other peak. Yes, sir.
Thank you. I believe Mr. Johnson had one more thing he wanted to add. Do you have a question? Or?
Yes. I'm sorry. Am I allowed to?
Yes. Go ahead.
I guess it's answering the question in a way.
No, the only thing I wanted to say, I think you understand at this, I think, what we're talking about, and apparently the height is not any higher, but we have a much wider structure, okay, in place. I guess the way I'd like to characterize it personally is that there was a design problem in the construction of this home. It caused leakage, and this is a solution which has been put in place. Presumably it has fixed that design problem. I believe it has fixed it in a way that is a violation of the ordinance. And I think that if you logically extended this a little, I mean, it's like, how much bigger can it be? Okay, it was this big, now it's, it's this big. Could it be the entire roof to fix a problem? I mean, in other words, the height requirement that I feel that we are definitely extending the nonconformity. We're not going higher in the same way, but my gosh, we're going so much wider.
More of it.
That there is more that is now being nonconforming, if I'm saying that correctly. I just wanted to be sure you understood our position on that.
Sir.
Yes, sir.
So you're still against the original one, right?
Excuse me?
You're against the original roof that was there, the height of it.
Against, well, not the roof itself. The
pitch of the...
It was the pagoda with a small little roof on top. It wasn't, of course, the main roof of the house.
No. Yeah.
Yes, it was
you're still against that part, too, still.
Well, I mean, that's been allowed to stand, and I'd love for it to go, but that's fine. That could certainly stay. There's nothing, we're not opposed to that. We can't be, really.
They took the what they added on down again, you have no problems.
Oh, if they were to take that down and fix the leak within the former footprint,
We
would certainly support that.
No, it's not.
Absolutely.
Okay. I mean, they took what they put up. They took that back down with the same pitch on the other roof. You'd be fine with that.
Well, sure. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, yes, sir. Thank you.
Hearing having no other questions, the chair will entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion to table the case so we have a chance to read through the information we got.
Okay.
Second.
Okay. I have a motion and a second to table this case until our next regular meeting. That'll be 2 weeks.
Got to read it. Give a chance to read it.
The next meeting is the 20th.
Well, if not, then we can table it then.
Okay.
Okay, to our next regular meeting, and by roll call vote, Mr. Workman.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson?
Aye.
And I vote aye as well. Case number 10,937 is tabled to our next regular meeting. Folks, we're going to take a short recess, and we will be back in about 5-10 minutes.